So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 105. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about gaming slash gambling in the Star Wars universe. As always, I am Mikey B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Danya.
Hi, I'm back.
Hi, Danya.
It feels like it's been a really, really, really long time. This is what happens when schedules don't quite line up particularly well.
That is true.
That
is very true.
Yeah.
We also have Ben with us this week. Hi, Ben.
What's up?
The ceiling, not a lot. And a whole bunch of Star Wars news. I know, right? And we also have joining us from the JodoCast, the Star Wars gaming podcast, Evan.
Good morning. How is everyone today?
Doing wonderful, Evan. Thank you for coming on, Evan. On a topic about gaming, I felt like we had to have you. Or at least someone from JodoCast.
I am thrilled to be here. Well, the other ones are too busy up at the Star Wars World Championships this weekend, so I'm left behind.
Aww.
No, I don't. I think you chose to be on Resistance Radio. Another exciting.
Yep.
Okay.
It was my destiny to be here, which is another Star Wars game.
All right. If you want to get involved in the conversation, guys, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook page. Send an email through our website, Resistance Radio, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on Hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, including Last Shot, the Han Solo Lando adventure.
Yes!
So good!
It's incredible. I absolutely love that book. I really, really, really want to talk. I'm going to write something for Hypeable about it, about like little bits that potentially is going to feed into the Solo movie.
The Solo.
Yeah.
Let's give our listeners a chance to read it. So how about this? Let's aim to do our Last Shot episode. We're going to do a Last Shot episode probably 2 weeks after Solo comes out.
Sounds like a good plan.
It gives people plenty of time to listen to the audiobook, read the book, Kindle, whatever you got there. Or you could just go to audibletrial.com/resistanceradio and listen to it for free. Anyway.
Or their parents read it to them before they go to bed because they're kids.
That's true. You could do that too.
Or because they're adults. I'm not going to judge, but like, I'm just saying.
Or maybe, Ben, would you read it to me? Like, if I call you and you just like, chapter
yes.
one. Lash. Anyway.
I will do that.
Anyway. Thank you for listening to Resistance Radio. Please feel free to support us on Patreon. We have launched our Patreon at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. We have some perks, including joining us on Discord chat, join us in the recording studio so you can listen to us live and hear all the mistakes that get edited out. We have movie nights and After Dark episodes, and heck, we've even had Patreon members on the show. If you can't afford to support us via Patreon, that's okay. We do have merchandise available for sale on our website. T-shirts and buttons are available there. Now, before we go into the news, I have a new segment. Because of today. Just because of today. We are recording on Sunday, the same day we're releasing this. Today is May 6th, or Revenge of the Sixth. Since, you know, May the 4th, Star Wars Day, right?
Yep.
May the 4th be with you all. We all had good Star Wars days, yes?
Yeah, it was actually pretty all right. Nothing too
pretty
shabby,
right.
Okay. I mean,
that's a lot to live up to. Pretty all right, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in work, so yeah. But it was also the last day before a long weekend in the UK, so we have Monday off. We have Monday off if you work in like usually offices or any financial institution based businesses. Because it's a bank holiday. Usually retail stores are still open, though, so if you do work in retail, it's kind of hit and miss whether you get the day off or not. But for a lot of places, Monday is a day off. So, yeah.
Fun. Evan, good May the 4th?
Yeah, it was a busy one. I spent most of the afternoon slash evening slash night at a wedding, but that wedding had a lot of Star Wars elements baked into it, so it was very good.
That's kind of awesome.
Well, the walk-in music was Lord of the Rings. The walk-out music was award ceremony. And let's see here. No, the first dance was Neville's Waltz. So there, you can see sort of the overall nerd theme going on here. And it had
Harry
the best
Potter, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. Yeah,
and the best photo booth props ever. Multiple lightsabers, Zelda stuff. So they did good.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like my kind of wedding. Like, not gonna lie.
Ben, anything on the 4th?
Yeah, I watched things? Interstellar.
That's a space. That's space, yeah, kind of. It's
space.
It's stars. Not really a war going on in there, but you know.
Not really. It's a war against time.
It was man versus environment.
There you go. You got something. You know, it's like going to Tosche Station to get some power converters there. Just right, living exactly. on Tatooine. Man versus planet. Anyway, so my thoughts about May the 4th is everyone kind of calls it, you know, it's Star Wars Day. It's been recognized, like, schools do it. We even had, like, airports kind of say how awesome Star Wars Day is, and it is awesome. It's May the 4th, so may the 4th be with you.
We had an airport say how awesome it is.
I know, that's how awesome it is. But then you go into the 5th, and this is where the debate rages on. Is it Revenge of the 5th or Revenge of the 6th? Now, my argument is, with Cinco de Mayo, at least here in the U.S. and Mexico, and honestly, Cinco de Mayo is not really a big holiday in Mexico. It's bigger here in the U.S. than it is in Mexico. But with Cinco de Mayo being on the 5th, like, it kind of like defeats this. And, you know, you have Revenge of the 6th, you know, and there's jokes that are things like, this is not a day the rebels would talk to you about. It's supposed to be the Empire's Day versus the Star Wars Rebels Day, if you will, on the 4th. So is it Revenge of the 5th or Revenge of the 6th, guys?
I mean, the linguistic nerd in me feels like it should be Revenge of the 6th because it's slightly closer to the word that it's riffing off. But inside, I feel, you know... So last night, oh look, how long did it take Donnie to bring up hockey? Like, who was betting on that?
Yeah, we're about 8 minutes in right now.
So my hockey team beat their big rival hockey team in a game where they came back from behind and it looked like they were going to lose. So in my head, I'm like, actually, no, that's kind of very apt, sort of revenge-y for the day. So in my heart, I'm like, Revenge of the 5th. In my head, I'm like, no, it's Revenge of the 6th.
Well, you know, here's the thing is, I'm posting a bunch of pictures in our Discord chat here. The memes are out of control with this. You know, you have Revenge of the 5th, definitely, but then you have Revenge of the 6th. Now, I will say Revenge of the 5th, one of my favorite memes out there, I had to post it, was none other than Palpatine with his lightsaber or Darth Sidious wearing a sombrero, because that's also on Cinco de Mayo. So, I'm going to leave it to you listeners and to the other hosts here. What do you guys think? You know, like you said, Danya, it's linguistically, I would say 6th, because that's like Sith. You know, it's what it's riffing off, Revenge of the Sith. But 5th is the next day. We also have, you know, the Cinco de Mayo tie-in for the 5th. Evan, what do you think?
Well, if you consider the fact that it took some time for the Sith to reveal themselves, because, you know, at last we'll reveal ourselves to the Jedi and have revenge, it took them a little bit, so they need that extra day in between in order to have it happen.
So you agree with Revenge of the 6th, right? Like, that's what I think, but...
Yeah, I think that's, you know, if you put too much thought into it, then it's absolutely the right one.
Yeah.
Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I would agree, especially because I saw this great meme that said after the 6th, I am the 7th, and then there's the Force Awakens. So, like, we've got this nice little string of days that work.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
We won't get into that.
Do you know what we should do? Do you know what we should do? Let's put up, once the episode is up, let's put up a Twitter poll and ask people to vote in it. As well.
Oh gosh.
That would
okay.
That'll help.
I'll let you do that, Danya, since I don't know how to do Twitter polls. Mikey doesn't know how to do some of those things.
Oh, Mikey.
Actually, I probably know how. I'm just too lazy to actually do it because I have lots of other things I got to do today. Anyway, that was Mikey's segment. Mikey's random thoughts. Is it Revenge of the Fifth or Revenge of the Sixth? You know, I think it's six, but you know, you guys let us know. Anyway, moving on to the news. So we talked about Donald Glover doing a walkthrough of the Falcon and specifically his cape before it was shown in the theater before the movie, like behind the scenes. It has officially been released. It was released this past week, and it is even better than what we saw. You can check it out. I'll have links to it. It is an awesome walkthrough of Lando's Falcon, not just the Millennium Falcon, but Lando's Pacific Falcon. He even talks about how much cleaner it is. So, guys, what do you think of this video of Donald Glover walking through one of our favorite ships in the universe?
I didn't realize Donald Glover is basically Lando.
Yeah, right.
the way he talks and moves around, I was like, oh, wow, he's either asked to be in character or he didn't really need to act that much.
Which I think is why everyone was so excited when he got cast.
Yeah, probably.
Anyone? Any other thoughts of it? Just beyond that. Like, I'll tell you this. Like,
I love the little cape, Amwa. And
yeah. I was just going to say that.
I thought that was fantastic. Cape room. I actually just really liked the walkthrough in general. Was really nice to actually get, like, a proper up-close look at the Falcon pre-Han having it. But also it's like very, very, very evident like how badly Han took care of it. Like, it's so bad. Like, you look at Lando's
vision. But again, I don't think it's that. I think like Han is more like think of, this is how I'll say it. When you think of Han Solo, I always think of American Graffiti a little bit. Because obviously George Lucas did that and you know, Harrison Ford played the same character almost in both films. And it's kind of like his car. Think of it as like a 57 Chevy. He tweaks the engine. He tweaks everything. So things don't always run as smooth, but he's getting faster speed out of it, more power. Like, I feel like that's Han. Like, he's tweaking it to be like his ship. And then at the same time, like when people complained about like how clean it is versus how dirty, it's like, have anything for 10 years or 15 years. You know, the difference in time here, because, you know, this is a 10-year gap before we see it in A New Hope. Obviously, like, leather stuff, patinas and wears, and I don't think it's like he didn't take care of it. I think it's just, you know, it's not brand new. And me and Caitlin talked about this. It's like, is it like cars? Like, you know, some people don't keep cars that long. They like to lease them and do them in 3 years. Is this like Lando's thing where he keeps the ship for 3 years and then all of a sudden it's like, ah, it's too dirty and old, outdated. I'm going to buy the new, you know, Corellian ship that came out of the, you know, factory line. I don't know. That's my thoughts. But my favorite part of this video is definitely the bunks, because I don't think we've ever seen bunks really except like in toys on the Falcon, if that makes sense.
Hold on. Finding it.
Because he jumps into the guest bunk and then his bed. I do like that his bed is a little bit
just
bigger.
Right at the beginning. Yeah.
The captain's quarters, kitchen. Yeah.
Dang. There needs to be a spinoff show on, like, HGTV called, like, Ship Hunters. And, like, Donald Glover can host it and be, like, the guy who shows people around.
All the different ships, you know, walking through a Star Destroyer takes, you know, a month to go through.
Yep. I'd watch it.
Evan, what are your thoughts on this video, him walking through it?
I got to see it, it's here, in the before the previews segments at my viewing of Infinity War. So even if that
so you
movie,
got to see it there. Okay.
Yeah. So even if that movie hadn't turned out to be amazing, it still would have been worth the price of admission to have gotten to see Donald Glover's tour. So it was pretty great. I haven't really rewatched it because I saw it. So maybe I should rewatch it and catch all the little bits and pieces that maybe I didn't see the first time. As far as bunks go, I thought it was interesting that everyone else's were kind of tiny and his was huge. That was funny. But, Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I was super stoked. I've honestly been super stoked on everything about this ever since the first trailers hit, so any little thing is going to make me go nuts at this point.
I will say, the solo trailer stuff and everything that's come out has just made this movie look that much better. And I'm just beyond ecstatic, but I think it's going to be a great movie. I can't wait. Danya, on the other hand, we got a little wager going.
Oh, yeah. I'm on a Danya ship right now, so I'll just join her.
That's okay. I think this is great.
I'm in the, I'd like it to be good. Yeah, but same. Don't know yet.
I kind of want it to prove me wrong. I don't know if it will, but like, I'm not going to be upset if it proves me wrong. I just, there's a couple of things still, like, in the trailers that are kind of making me go, I'm still not sure.
Yeah, Danya, where are you seeing it? Like, let's go. Let's go together.
Well, I'm seeing it over here, so you are more than welcome to fly over and come and watch it with me. I am going with a couple of friends. We might be going to see it at the BFI in London, which is the the British Film Institute. They have the largest IMAX screen in the UK. So, we're thinking of going.
I may have to swim, but yeah, I'll
back
on that. Yeah, okay, cool.
Anyway, moving on past the Donald Glover walkthrough of the Millennium Falcon. In the Star Wars universe, you may have heard about the infamous moment where Han Solo and Lando Calrissian first meet and ultimately face off for the legendary Millennium Falcon. So, this week, with Solo, a Star Wars story, and the help of ILM, this iconic moment was captured in full 360. So you can actually go to YouTube and actually look at Solo, a Star Wars story 360 and see Lando and Han gambling at this table, raising him. You know, Lando's like, "Here, I'll raise you 2,000. Han's response, "I'll raise you however much this is." And he puts everything in. Like, I think it is. I think this scene was just absolutely awesome, and I can't wait to see it in the movie. But it's actually really cool to see it in 360, be able to turn around, spin around. If you have it on a smartphone, if you have the VR goggles, definitely put it on. Get in a swivel chair and spin around so you can spin around to Lando real quick, spin around back to Han, look at all the aliens in between. I may have done that. But you can still do it in the browser, and you can just use the cursor to move back and forth through. Guys, what'd you think of this video at all? Like,
I'm glad Star Wars is doing this stuff. They did one for the Last Jedi scoring sessions, too.
Yes, they did.
And that was really cool.
But this has scissor punch in it also.
Yes. Yes, Mikey, it does. Man, Donald Glover acts with his eyebrows a lot.
Yes, he does.
He's an eyebrow actor.
Evan, Danya, any thoughts on the scene or the 360 experience?
It was kind of fun. I did enjoy it. I will say, though, I don't think he's as much of an eyebrow actor as Emma Watson, though.
No, nobody is.
Yeah, he doesn't go that far, but he does do quite a bit of eyebrow acting.
Don't know if Emma Watson would have fit the role of Lando. But
oh, she could have. I'm sure there are alternate universe fanfics where that is the case.
Okay, cool.
At least there will be now. Get on that.
Okay, well,
fanfickers.
Well, I have to tell
instead
you guys.
Instead of Ron and Hermione, it's Han and Hermione.
That'd be awesome.
Somebody go write that.
Anyway.
It probably exists. It's the internet.
Yeah,
come on.
It probably exists.
I will say this. Han's response to Lando in this, where he said, "You may want to quit while you're behind," I think it's the most Han Solo thing ever. Mm-hmm. Like that kind of bravado that is Han Solo. So I love this just as an example of what the movie's going to be, because it's not a trailer where it's like meant to be action-packed and exciting. This is literally a scene from the film, and I think it is just absolutely awesome. Like, I feel like the pacing and everything just makes me really excited for it.
Yeah. I like the atmosphere it's set up as well. I also am, as always, so incredibly impressed with all of the different aliens and species that they had in that scene as well. I just thought it looked fantastic. Like, that's one thing. I'm always continuously and consistently impressed with, like, how incredibly well done it always looks. Like, the people who do all the creature design, it's just it just looks fantastic all the time. So that scene, it was really cool to actually be able to do like a 360 and really get like a proper look at all of them. And you could take like your time to like stop and really appreciate all of the hard work that goes into that as well. Because usually when you're in the film, you can sometimes, or you're often guided to have your focus be on the main characters of that scene, which in this instance is Lando and Han. But the great thing was that, you know, you could watch this over and over and focus on a different part every single time, which I thought was quite fun.
And that's why we need to eventually have an anthology novel, Tales from the Sabacc Table.
Ha! That would actually be really cool.
I want them to get back to that. I mean, I guess they had that a little bit with Canto Bight and a little bit with a certain point of view, but they just need to go crazy with it like they did back in the old days.
Yeah, I think some of those... I miss some of the Legends books, I will be honest with you. Like, just having a kind of... being able to know so much about other things that they don't really talk about in the films, I think I would just love that. Anyway, moving on, we have Ron Howard narrates a hilarious Star Wars Arrested Development crossover.
This was amazing.
This is really interesting, because I think almost a year ago, maybe a little bit more than that, we talked about Arrested Rebellion, which the Nerdist did, which was take a bunch of sound bites from Ron Howard doing Arrested Development and splice that with Star Wars footage to do the same thing. But this one, this was part of the Star Wars show, and Ron Howard actually this time does a full episode of A New Hope. So this, and the nice part is it's not just using sound bites from like a previous like what's on Arrested Development, but actually new bites specifically tied into this. And I absolutely love this, specifically like talking about like when Obi-Wan talks about never owning a droid. That's not true. And then it goes into all the R2s that he did call him previously. So guys, what did you think of this? The Arrested Development segment. It's about 3 minutes long and it's just absolutely phenomenal. But what do you guys think?
I thought that this was one of the best little Star Wars videos that I saw all week. Like, it was, I loved it. I've watched it way too many times to count. I just keep playing it over and over and over again because it's just really delightful to watch, because it's so funny going back and just experiencing it with the Arrested Development kind of style on the top. And it works so well. Like, it could have come across as like a little forced or trite, but it didn't, because I think they chose like all of the right story beats to make it work really, really well. So I thought it was great. Personally, I thought it was a fantastic little thing that they've done.
Evan, any thoughts on it? Ben?
Agreed, 100%.
Perfect.
Everything Danya said.
Yeah. Like, it so easily could have, like, gone into being, like, really overwrought. Like, if they'd gone too long, or if they'd, like, done too much.
That, or if it was, like, I don't know if this sounds weird, but, like, if it was, like, too Star Wars. Like, I feel like they kept a lot of tropes from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Like, just the way the show is structured. They kept enough of that that it's still funny both ways.
Yeah.
I think that's a really hard thing to do.
It's such a difficult balance, because it could so easily have fallen apart if they'd gone too far one way or the other. But I think that they struck the balance really well with it. And as just like a little short, funny little video, I thought it was perfect, because it was just like a nice little taste rather than it being like too much. I don't know if that makes sense.
If they tried to do a whole long episode, it would have gotten old very quick, but the length that it was spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, keeping it to the, you know, 3 minutes and it being the Arrested Development style and everything, and still hitting every major point in A New Hope. Like, I'll be honest with you, it tells the entire story of A New Hope with a very interesting twist. But I do love, about halfway through it, you know, when Han talks to Luke and Obi-Wan, you know, about the Millennium Falcon. It's the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. And then, of course, because we have that omnipresent narrator, it's like, hey, that would make an interesting movie. Go see Solo, a Star Wars story, only in theaters, May 25th. Like, completely breaks away from it to, like, obviously plug his movie. Which, I will tell you this, this is why I think I'm so excited for Solo. Because once I heard Ron Howard was, I think that's when we made the bet, Donnie, was when I heard Ron Howard was taking over, I was like, it's going to be good. I have no worries about it again, because I think I had just watched Apollo 13 again, and I think Ron Howard is just absolutely phenomenal. So I think it's going to be amazing, and this just adds to it. All right. Guys, so some interesting news about Solo, speaking of that, is Solo has actually done really good with pre-sales. I was a little, like, worried, like, anticipation, like, there wasn't a lot of hoopla, like, when it's going to be, when tickets are going to go on sale. But Solo pre-sale tickets have already doubled what Black Panther were, and it's the second highest this year, only to Marvel's Infinity War right now.
Infinity War is absolutely killing it at the box office right now. I think that's going to be really tough to beat. Like, I didn't...
Yeah, and I don't...
I didn't think Infinity... Like, obviously Marvel is, like, a ridiculous juggernaut of a movie that has been, like, over 10 years in the making to get to. Like, I get that. But I didn't... For some reason, I didn't think it would be this financially successful. I don't know why, but so it's really interesting to see that Solo is actually tracking and trending closer or in the direction of Infinity War, which is incredible, because I've still, like, regardless, yes, it's a Star Wars film. Yes, there's still some anticipation around it as being, like, a spin-off, but I don't expect the spin-offs to do as well financially as the Skywalker saga stuff. So this was actually really shocking to me to actually go in and see how well it's tracking against all of that. Pleasantly surprised, because there's also been quite a lot of apathy around this film, kind of split in the fandom, depending on what angle you're coming at it from. Because some people,
You know what's interesting about that? I didn't link it. It was an article that mentioned that Mark Hamill commented on this specifically. It wasn't so much recent. It was back in February, and I think we talked about it. I don't remember if we did. But he talked about how, you mentioned the decisiveness, like, you know, between the Star Wars fandom, if you will. And we also saw this with The Last Jedi. Like, people loved it, people hated it. There was, like, no in-between. Mm-hmm. And I'll be 100% honest, you know, Mark Hamill said something along the lines of, I think they've simply just moved their ire from The Last Jedi onto Solo, and I think it's those people who are kind of didn't like The Last Jedi are simply moving their anger to Solo film and are making a loud ruckus about it. But, you know, Fandango reported when they did a survey of moviegoers, 85% Han Solo is one of their favorite Star Wars characters, and like I mentioned, you know, it's tracking to be one of the biggest, biggest movies of the year. Also, it's doubled what Black Panther did pre-order, and it's tracking right along with Infinity War, which has passed The Force Awakens as the biggest opening.
Can I slightly tangent? Or not tangent. Can I rant for a second?
Oh, an elusive Ben rant. What?
Oh, man. No, just a couple things. The first was Black Panther didn't pre-sale super well, but it was a huge word of mouth movie. And so the success from that movie came from after it was released. So I don't know if... I don't know. I'm not really... I mean, it's great that this is selling a lot of tickets pre-sales, but, you know, for the most part... I think Solo's going to have to be a word-of-mouth movie as well if it wants to make enough money at the box office. And then going off the just the Infinity War kind of blowing everything out of the water, I think Infinity War was one of those where people were excited and it was a word-of-mouth movie, because I know a lot of people who went to see it who were really excited, and they made a lot of other people go when the other people were like, was it good? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, okay, why? And they're like, well, I can't really tell you. So, like, you know, people go to see it because of that. And I think also Infinity War is making a lot more money than, say, The Last Jedi, or more quickly than The Last Jedi, because Marvel fans are way more forgiving of their property than Star Wars fans are of theirs. And I had some problems with Infinity War that I feel like Star Wars fans, the equivalent in the Marvel Universe, would go in and not really care, or they would overlook them because they've wanted this movie for so long.
I'm gonna completely disagree with you on that, because Black Panther had a huge opening weekend with 202 million. That was its opening weekend. It was only still ahead. Star Wars: The Force Awakens only beat it by 247 million, and Infinity War just barely beat that by 257 million. So, like, I think Black Panther was not really a word of mouth movie because it still had a huge, huge weekend. Right. Like, opening weekend.
I guess what I mean
is number six of all time.
Yeah, I guess what I mean is by the total. I mean, I remember it held on to like the number one, number two, number three spot for weeks.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it had a big opening. I remember it, though, being, like, the pre-sale tickets weren't super high. A lot of people that opening weekend went and bought their tickets at the theater. So, even though it was a really high number, they didn't know necessarily that that was coming, I think, because of the fact that pre-sale didn't exist as high as they thought it might.
Okay, I'll take it. But, well, I'll tell you this, like, when you look at it, like, overall, I think they knew Black Panther was going to be a huge success. Like, I knew everyone, my friends had bought pre-sale tickets, but I pulled up Box Office Mojo. If anyone follows the movie industry or anything like that, this is something I got really into in college, and just pulling it up, like, worldwide gross, like, right now, Black Panther is sitting at number 9, with $1.3 billion worldwide. Revenue is number 3 domestically here in the U.S. at $690 million revenue. You know, Star Wars: The Force Awakens domestically is number 1 still with $936 million. And if I'm looking for, let's see, Infinity War hasn't even topped that. It's number 38 right now with $369 million because it just came out. So we'll see if that tops domestic grosses. But right now, you know, worldwide grosses overall, Titanic and Avatar. Or, you know, Avatar's number 1, Titanic's number 2, and then Force Awakens number 3. I'll be honest, I don't think Black Panther will hit that anywhere near those, because it's only $1.3 billion right now. And I don't think Solo or Infinity War will get up there to the billions, because you have to remember the worldwide market won't get to that.
We just need a James Cameron Star Wars movie, and then we'll be fine.
Yeah, well, there you go. Because like, that's what...
No,
like I said, worldwide, it really is Avatar. And Avatar is so far ahead of everything else, it's $2.78 billion. Yeah, with Titanic at $2.1 billion and Star Wars The Force Awakens at $2.06 billion. So worldwide grosses, like, you know, we're still talking about phenomenal movies for the year. And Black Panther had a huge, let me go back to all time real quick. We'll do opening weekends real quick. I'll just do opening weekends domestic. Infinity Wars now holds the title for, you know, opening weekend at $257 million. Force Awakens at $247 million, and then it's Last Jedi at $220, Jurassic World at $208, Marvel's the first Avengers is at $207, and Black Panther's at $202. So, like I said, Black Panther it did a phenomenal job opening weekend. So, if we take maybe 25% of that, 25% of that was pre-orders. The fact that Solo has doubled that already, like that's I'm expecting Solo to have a huge opening to be within the top 10. Films. I know I have my tickets. I did not rent a theater this time, I'll be honest with you guys.
Oh, man.
but I'll be honest with you. Like, I think we talked about this with, like, the Force Friday or Wookiee Weekends that they had with the toys. I don't think either of you guys were on that show.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. But, we had Dano on that show. We had Caitlin on the show, and we talked about...
Oh, wait. Yes, I was on that one.
Yeah, there you were, Ben. I don't remember who's on the show, but we talked about Wookiee Weekends and how exciting it was, and the lack thereof. Like, whereas, like, with The Last Jedi, we had, like, that Force Friday was amazing. Get your Rey game on. Like, all the vendors were doing stuff. You know, me and Dano talked about how Toys R Us as a company is going under, so obviously they weren't going to participate, but Target, Walmart's, you know, none of those places really... You know, they had some of their Solo toys on pallets. Some of them put them out early. Like, it was just kind of a letdown. But I will say this, like, in the last, you know, that was a month ago, you know, about a month ago. And going this month, we're now in May, and we're less than 20 days away from seeing the move, 19 days. All the media coming out, that 360 video, the Donald Glover walkthrough, the toys have now all been released. The Ron Howard narrate, you know, Arrested Development thing, like the pre-sale tickets are on, and like all these things are just like hitting at once. And I think Disney did it right. I think we were a little disappointed as Star Wars fans who follow it that we didn't see all this Solo stuff beforehand, because we're used to seeing it for, like, the, you know, Force Awakens. We saw it for Rogue One. We saw it for Last Jedi. And we were expecting the same thing for Solo, which is at a different time frame, because it's not a Christmas movie. It's, you know, it's Memorial Day. You know, it's the first of the big summer blockbuster movies, if you will. That's for Star Wars. I guess it's 3 weeks after Infinity War. So it's going to be like, you know, you have Disney, you're having the first two big tentpole movies of this summer, if you will. And then we also get Ant-Man and the Wasp, another Marvel movie coming out right after that, too. So you have all these tentpole movies from Disney, and I think they did it right because they didn't want Solo to compete against Infinity War. They don't want Ant-Man and the Wasp to compete against Solo. Like, they've planned it all out, and so you're going to get these media blitz for all these films that came out. And, like, this week I have more news that I've put in here than I had to cut a bunch of it out because it's that. But, yeah, I am so excited that Solo is doing well. And it's already doubled that of Black Panther's pre-sale tickets.
The one thing that's really sad for me, like, talking about all of the Solo merchandise getting released, Toys R Us over here is, like, dead. Like, it's gone. It's all the stores are now shut.
They haven't been getting any new shipments, so you can't get it at Toys R Us.
This is the thing, though, is that we now have no major toy, like, bricks and mortar toy stores here now. We maybe have Smith's Toys, but they're very, very limited in terms of location. They're not everywhere. So I would have to travel, I think, to Reading to go to one, which is, depending on traffic, like, it's a fair distance. Or you've got the Entertainer, but again, they're fairly limited in terms of stock. They don't always get all of the new stuff. They tend to have, like, stuff slightly behind everyone else. So for me, it's now, like, the locations to actually go and see, like, merchandise is very, very limited without Toys R Us. And it's a real damn shame. But so I haven't seen any Han Solo merchandise at all out in the wild yet.
There needs to be, like, Danya Finds Merchandise, like a YouTube channel or something.
Yeah, I'm like going hunting. I think I would probably, like, the best bet for me would probably be to go all the way into London and go to Forbidden Planet. That would probably be the place where they would have the most stuff. But again, that's a pain to get to unless you're already in London. So, it's just a shame to have seen Toys R Us go under, mostly because it was our major main toy store still here. We don't tend to have a lot of other major toy store brands to, like, sell stuff. So a lot of it is now shifting to online. I haven't actually purchased my Han Solo tickets yet. I don't know if I think they're just starting to release them for the UK. We tend to release later than the US for when you get to purchase them, so I actually need to coordinate that to figure out who's all going and stuff. So yeah,
I just got mine 10 minutes ago, so don't worry about that.
Okay.
You know what, though, and I'm sure there's plenty of for me, I'll be honest with you, when I bought the tickets, I didn't wait up at midnight. I've been feeling sick, and I woke up in the morning at 5 a.m., and there's plenty of seats available. I got just two tickets for myself and my wife. I still hopefully can find a sitter, otherwise I'm going by myself, and I'll have an empty seat next to me. But, it definitely is one of those things where I'm not surprised that ticket sales are really good for it, but it's not the frenzy of The Last Jedi or Force Awakens. And even, like, at work, like, people are excited about it, but no one's like, I'm not doing a whole theater for everyone. Like, I'm like, nope, can't do it this time. And no one's like, really, like, oh, it's all right. Well, I'll do it, you know, buy the tickets or anything like that. It's just kind of like, okay, well, we'll go. But moving on, speaking of Star Wars Day, we had Heathrow Airport in London update their departures flight board with a bunch of Star Wars stuff. For May the 4th. It even said, May the 4th be with you. Things included delayed a long, long time in a galaxy far, far away, with destinations to Tatooine, Kamino, Hoth, Jakku, Takodana, Kashyyyk, Endor, Alderaan, Kessel, and the Death Star. Unfortunately, the Alderaan flight was canceled due to unexpected destruction of the planet. Guys, what did you think about this? May the 4th, it is all over the place, all over the world, and it is the official Star Wars Day. What did you guys think of Heathrow Airport doing this?
I was about to ask and make sure that the Alderaan flights were canceled. I would have lost my mind if they had not been. That's wonderful.
Yeah, well, I will tell you this. Flights to Jakku are delayed due to sandstorms, and Hoth flights were delayed, awaiting clearance of snow from one runway at destination. So, and there is extra security at flights to Kashyyyk and Takodana, and all crossbows must be checked in. Sorry, Wookiee. Sorry, Chewie. Let's see, what else do they have?
I just like the flight numbers.
Yeah, the flight numbers. You want to talk about those?
They're great. Well, I mean, they start out pretty basic, like Tatooine's flight numbers R2-D2, but like you get down to like Death Star and it's TIE, and then 11382, which I don't know.
I personally like the Kessel one is HAN5010. Get it? Yeah. Han Solo. Yeah, it's funny. Yep. I laughed, and then it says next info. You know, because it's delayed. Next info is on May 25th, 2018, which is the release of the Solo movie. You know, get the Kessel run, going to Kessel. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, so Star Wars Day has been a hoot. Last sorry, bit of news.
Wait, hold on.
Last
bit. I didn't last read below bit the Death news. Star.
I know.
Below the Death Star says, allow extra time for boarding, possibly a trap.
It's a trap. Anyway.
That's great.
Moving on, guys, to the last bit of news. And I wanted Ben and Danya's thoughts on this, because I thought this was interesting. This is a legal news. Like, this is from the Hollywood Reporter, and this is some legal news specifically related to Star Wars and specifically to the game of Sabacc. We kind of mentioned it earlier when we had the Solo 360 video we talked about, and it also ties directly into our gaming topic. So there is a legal trademark. So back when Star Wars released in 1977... They talked about Sabacc as the game that Han won the Millennium Falcon with, but it was never trademarked. It was never done anything. It was just part of like the Star Wars, you know, mythos, if you will. So Disney decided to sue a guy who made a mobile game called Sabacc, and it was never trademarked. The game maker then responded to the court saying, Lucasfilm doesn't own rights to Sabacc because it's impossible to trademark fictional goods and services, and those claims should be dismissed. So last week, Mr. Wren turned the argument on its head and sued Lucasfilm for the trademark infringement, arguing that the studio's marketing of the fictional Sabacc for Solo infringes on its rights of the real mobile game. Denny's and Collider are also named as defendants in the suit because they've a Hand of Sabacc commercial connected to the film. So Wren is asking the court for a declaration that Lucasfilm and its partners infringing on its Sabacc trademark and injunction barring them from using the term. So there is legitimately a Sabacc, like, card game that, or it's a mobile game, and I looked for it in the App Store, it's there, but the Sabacc game and, like, any games that might come out that are called Sabacc and everything, like, there is a legitimate legal suit going on around it because he's the one who has the trademark for it, not Lucasfilm, because he has an actual item, and he named it that.
Is Ren Ventures owned by Kylo? Because I would sue them for that first.
That's his name, my friend. That's his name.
Sorry. All right, never mind.
Nice try.
You said you wanted my thoughts on this.
and I'm gonna say let's go to Evan, the gaming expert over here. Evan, thank you.
Well, we have talked about this a little bit on JodoCast, and I think the end of the one of the original articles that came out about it said that the lawyers for the Lucasfilm side were unavailable for comment, and I said it was because they were too busy laughing at this guy's lawsuit, because it's just ridiculousness. I really don't see how he even thinks that anything is going to come of it, especially with the precedent already having been set that it's a fictional thing and you can't do that. If that's what the precedent was in the original case, then I don't see how it's going to be applicable or how his counter suit is going to have any weight behind it at all. Unless there's some legal finagling that, you know, we're missing the finer points of. It's just, I don't know. I don't know what this guy is thinking.
I think what his argument was back in before 2015, when they sued him originally, is because he used the word sabacc. Like, I'm looking at the game right now in the App Store on iOS. It's Sabacc, High Stakes Card Games by Sabacc Creative Industries. And so basically what happens when I see here, at least the way I understand it. Now this was just released on the 4th. So I heard about you guys talking about it on JodoCast. And when I saw this for this week's news, I was like, I need Evan to help talk about games. And then also this, cause you know more than I do probably. But basically what I understand was when they sued him, they sued him for trademark and copyright infringement and unfair competition, claiming, that he, you know, he's infringement on their IP, if you will. But his argument was that they can't trademark something that doesn't exist, and they kind of threw it out, and nothing came from it. Now, on this end, with Sabacc being shown in the Solo universe and stuff like that, and that's coming out last week, he sued Lucasfilm for trademark infringement because he has since gotten the trademark for Sabacc, his mobile game that was released in 2014. So he now actually owns the trademark for it, and Lucasfilm is infringing on his trademark of Sabacc. And so that's what's really weird. It's like the word Sabacc was first used as a card game in Star Wars in 1977, but since it never existed, Lucasfilm could never actually get a trademark for it. Now, he has an actual trademark in the courts, and he's suing them for infringing on it. That's where the problem is, because like it's not that like when you said like the precedent was that it wasn't something, well it is
and now
something
it
that
is
he
you're
has.
Right.
It is something that he has now, and since they were going after him, he can use exactly their same argument against him. He can use their argument against them. So I wonder if their lawyers are just kind of like, you know what, it might be easier just to buy out his company. You know, I'll be honest with this. There's lots of high profile things like this. The first one that comes to mind is, I just mentioned on the iOS store, is iPhone. iPhone was held by Cisco. There was an internet phone, 10 years ago that was not anything like a smartphone that we see today, Android or iPhone. And Apple didn't have the trademark for it. So they just simply still released it and then bought the patent from them or bought the trademark from them for a ridiculous amount. And all was good and done in the world. And I'm sure this guy probably wouldn't be upset if Lucasfilm threw a couple $1 million his way, probably more than he makes off the App Store with this game.
Yeah, that's happened before, where, I don't know if you remember, back in like 08, 09, there was a lightsaber app where you could build your own lightsaber, and it had the motion control, and you could clash lightsabers, and then
and they bought it, and they rebranded it.
Yeah, as Lightsaber Unleashed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the Star Wars Unleashed video games. No, I totally remember that. And actually, I kind of liked it before it was released with Lightsaber Unleashed. But yeah, like so I'm wondering if that's going to happen. But now I will say this. Like, if you look at the app in the App Store, it really is like just a card game. It doesn't really look like it's a Sabacc game based on the rules that we kind of know that don't exist because it's not a real game yet. So yeah, so it's interesting. Anyway, that leads us directly into our spotlight topic of gaming and gambling in Star Wars. So there are a couple obvious games that we know about or gambling that we talk about. All the way going back to episode 1 with pod races. You know, Shmi says, gambling. It's all about gambling on this planet. And those dang pod races. And she gets so upset when Anakin does it. She almost dies. So it's all about, we see these things from the first episode all the way to, even in post, The Force Awakens with the novels and stuff like that. So we have a couple different topics different games that I want to just touch on and talk about. And maybe even compare them to real life, things. Specifically, I was thinking back to The Last Jedi originally, while I was driving the other day. And we were talking about the Fathia racing, you know, on Canto Bight, on Cantonica, and how it was such like a high classy, really, you know, it was essentially the Derby in space. And for those of you who don't know what the Kentucky Derby is, I didn't know before I moved to Kentucky either, so that's okay.
Really?
But, really? Yeah, I was about to say, wait, what? Are you for real? Like, knew about the Kentucky Derby. And, like, here's the thing,
I don't go to horse tracks. I don't do horse racing.
Neither
like,
do I.
It was so better. Far. It was so far. I'm like, oh, yeah, Kentucky Derby is something. Like, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it was a big deal. I live in Louisville, so now I know it's a big deal. But for me, it was kind of like, meh, it's this thing that happens. It's kind of like, all right, I'll tell you this. Like, I know what the Indy 500 is. And I know, Evan, you live in Indianapolis. So I know that's a big deal in your city, right?
Yeah, it's coming up, unfortunately.
Yeah, see? All right, and your response and the tone of your voice tells me that it's the same thing that I have with the Derby here. I'm like, yeah, it's this thing that happens. But not living in Kentucky, because it was not something that I followed, not something that I worried about. You know, it's one of those things you're kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever. Now, I will say this. The different, and actually, this is probably a good thing to talk about with Fathia Racing. Evan, you just mentioned the Indy 500. You're like, yeah, it's coming up. If you were to think of NASCAR, I want you guys just to think of NASCAR. Close your eyes, think of NASCAR. And think of the stereotype of people that watch NASCAR and go there. Now, that's not a good thing to have, but regardless, think of the stereotype. I would say NASCAR is more like pod racing. Because again, it's on Tatooine, there's slaves involved, like it's not like the Cantonica of Canto Bight where it's like everyone in these fancy suits, it's the people who have billions and billions of credits, who get drunk and put coins in BB-8, like that's not pod racing. Not to say that they don't drink, but I will say Fathia Racing, it reminds me directly of the Kentucky Derby. I had someone walk by the other day in a full suit. For the Kentucky Derby, and the lady he was with had a hat probably bigger than a sombrero.
Oh, those hats. Even though it may have been, oh my gosh.
You know, those hats with the flowers and everything. Like, but you get the idea. Like, it's a very like fancy looking thing. And I think we can compare a lot of these things that we see in the Star Wars universe to obviously real life things. And I'm sure that's where they draw inspiration from. But what did you guys think of the Fathia Racing? Like, on Cantonica, if we look back to The Last Jedi, I know we all have it on Blu-ray and DVD and digital. But when you see that race when Finn and Rose look out and they see them going through it, I don't hear the announcer going, and they're off, or we're coming around the bend, you have, you know, I can't remember the names of the Fathiers, but you saw them on the board. The names were, what was it? Hoff, Stuff, and Kessel Runner, Minock, Minute, and Shifting Sands. Oh, coming up to the front is time for Flatcakes, is moving to the fleet. Like, you get, like, it reminds me of, you know, literally, and those are all names of Fathiers, by the way. It's time for Flatcakes.
Great.
Yes. Yes, no. Kessel Runner. Hoth Stuff. Get it? Hoth Stuff.
Yeah.
Hoth. Okay. Okay. But yeah.
Laughing my head off right now.
Yeah, well, they are known as space horses, so I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not drawing that conclusion between the two. But yeah, guys, what did you just think of the Fathia Racing in general? Like, this is obviously something we only saw in episode 8. It wasn't really alluded to anywhere else. But it was also mentioned in Aftermath, Empire's End, by Chuck Wendig, we talked about. So it's kind of been mentioned in two different things.
I mean,
it's good.
There's very much, like, it shows the division of wealth in the galaxy. Like, all of these different games and everything like that, it's really interesting to see how it reflects real life. Like, it was really, really interesting to see it on, like, I guess, a level where you saw, we hadn't really seen, like, that kind of decadence in the Star Wars galaxy before, not as far as it went. So, it, like, for me, because obviously I'm based out of the UK, I didn't, like, make the connection between the Kentucky Derby and, like, Fathia Racing. I made the connection between Ascot and Fathia Racing. Because, again, it's a similar sort of thing. It's a very
Ascot over in Britain?
Not NASCAR. Ascot.
Ascot.
Yeah, that's what I said. What are we talking about?
It's
hold on. Explain yourself.
Explain yourself, Danya.
Ascot, the racing? The horse racing? The racetrack racing? There.
Yes, not, that's what not, I thought, right?
You're not talking about okay. Ascot Tie, Ben. We're talking about the racetrack.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a huge... It's basically our Kentucky Derby, but it lasts... Like, it doesn't last, like, 30 seconds. It's, like, a lot of horse races. It's very... affluent people dressed up in suits and beautiful dresses and
the hats. They still have the
hats. Yeah, they still have the hats. They do have Ladies Day at Ascot. And so I made that connection for me because it's like a huge thing over here. So for me, that was the connection that I drew. Like, was this over the top decadent kind of exploration of wealth. And for me, it was really interesting because a lot of the people that we've seen and we know and we've been introduced to in the Star Wars universe have come from nothing. They have very little money. You know, the only real person that has been... Well, the only two people I would say are, like, very, very well off, or were at one point, were Leia and Holdo. Like, they are the two...
And Padme, you know, Queen of Naboo.
I mean, yeah.
And Bail Organa.
I mean, we don't see Bail that often. So I was thinking more, like, major characters. And it's just really interesting to have seen, like, how far spread out that wealth actually is, and then the kind of sports and gambling and events that they would be into. So yeah, I don't know, it was just really interesting to see that kind of take on it, because everything else that we had seen, like events based stuff, tended to come from more, I guess, planets that didn't have as much wealth, or, you know, like what they do for entertainment, what they do for fun and events and gambling and that sort of thing. So yeah, I just thought it was really interesting to see that division of wealth.
Yeah, and I'll agree with you on this. Like, when you drive from father racing to like pod racing, you know, when we talk about kind of comparing that to NASCAR, it really is like everyone has their own pod racer. They soup it up however they want. And I instantly think, go back to like the N64 game, the N64 pod racer game, which is also something I didn't put in the notes, but because of May the 4th, you can go to GOG.com and buy Racer for your computer. And it's on sale right now for only just under $9 at $8.49. So check that out too, because you can download a working version of Star Wars Episode 1 Razor for $9 on
good old games.
GOG.com. Good old games, yep. I couldn't remember what a GOG stood for a while as I was looking it up. But yeah, it's like when you look at pod racing, it's on a lot of the same planets. But you know, you think about like Anakin Skywalker was one of the pilots for it because he was a slave and Watto forced him to drive. I don't think any of the NASCAR or racing circuit people are slaves and are being forced to drive by their respective sponsors. Regardless, but you know, racing is also that same kind of luxury thing too. You have like Monaco, Indy 500, Daytona 500. You know, NASCAR has its own stigma, but then you have like the big car races, and there's also all the video games that are tied around car racing and everything like that. But that also brings me to one of the questions I had about this. You know, we don't see kids very often in the Star Wars universe. At least not in movies or like even in the novels. I think the only two times I've seen it would be in Episode 1 when you have little Annie and his friends working on his pod racer. And then also in Episode 7, the kids cleaning out the stables for the Fathiers. I can't remember.
Mikey.
That's Episode 8. Thank you.
Yeah.
These numbers are all running together. There's so many movies numbers to kind of tie in. Numbers and movies confusing, yeah. But we don't see kids otherwise, like at least young kids. Do you guys think they had their own type of video games? You know, we talked about, you know, car racing. You know, there's lots of car racing games out there for your PlayStation, your Xbox, the computer, and the arcades. I don't know, there's not many arcades anymore still, but there are. Do you think kids in the Star Wars universe had video games or something similar to them? We had Sims. You know, we know like Rey learned to fly via a flight sim. We see that in the novel Before the Awakening. Temin Snap Wexley learned to fly from Wedge Antilles. Wedge, my boy, in a sim also in the Aftermath series. But like, do they have? Is that all they have? Is like simulators?
No, tough, because well, like the only kids we've seen in the Star Wars universe are slaves. So
well, we know they play Lizard Toad Snake on the planet that Thane Kyrell and Sienna Ray are from, because that's a classic game.
That's true.
Everyone knows that one.
Like, that's the rock. That's like rock, scissors, paper, though, right? Like that's what I
yeah,
thought it was.
That's all. Wait, it is.
Did you say rock, scissors, paper?
That's the Kentucky variant.
Oh goodness. Okay.
Right, rock, paper, scissors. I don't know.
I'm gonna write that down.
I call it Rochambeau sometimes. You know, it's whatever. But yeah, like, but what other games would they play? Like, we don't really see it. It's not really explored.
Oh, there's that group of the other kids we see are the younglings, which are like, they don't do anything but Jedi training. So I guess,
and die.
Like, yeah, we don't know. What do they do in their free time?
They die.
Yep.
Oh, that's, my God.
Master Skywalker.
Right, well, this podcast just took a turn.
This podcast brought to you by
Master Skywalker. What anyway. Do we do? Ah!
No,
anyway.
I'm talking like episode 2.
I don't know. We also don't know what game that the Tatooine Street Kids were like, come on, guys, let's go play ball. Like, well, what are you playing? Tell us that. Tell us what game you're going to go play.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, that almost makes me wonder is maybe these kids are very intellectual in the Star Wars universe. You know, they have laser swords and blasters and ships and intergalactic travel. So maybe they all play holo chess, which you can play... with the new with the updated version of the the Jedi Challenges app for free, not having to pay for it. But Holo Chess is also another name for Djeric. Did I say that right? I think so.
Yeah,
Djeric, which is what we saw in A New Hope. R2-D2 and Chewbacca are playing. We also see Finn accidentally activate the game board. We see that on the Millennium Falcon. So the Djeric is played, you know, with either teams, two people, against two people, but it's two teams. And it's essentially a game of chess. You know, your characters versus the other characters. You have to, your monsters have to, or I guess they're not really monsters. They're creatures that are kind of, I guess, found throughout the galaxy. Little mini versions of the creatures have to take out the other creatures. And they can only move in certain directions, like chess pieces. You know, if you are a fan of chess, you know knight can only move two and over one spaces in any direction. Your bishop can only move diagonally on either the white or black diamond or squares, depending on where, you know, which side it is. So it's one of those things where it's very interesting that it's based on chess, or I would say the game is based on chess. But I can't imagine that being the only thing kids play. We also saw Saw's Partisans playing a game of Djeric
Rogue One.
Jeddah.
Yeah.
In Rogue One. I had to think of the planet.
And Djeric is just a variant of the overall holo, quote, chess game called Sha-Tez, which was created a long, long time ago. And then you have Djeric and actual literal chess. And several other variants. Sidious was quite a fan of one of the variants of it.
Yeah, because we learned that in Aftermath that Sidious was very into it, because he talked about, you know, if you're was it the king? It was the queen, maybe? I don't remember. The main piece.
The Imperator.
The Imperator, yeah, which reminded me of the Emperor when I was reading it. Yeah, if the Imperator ever was captured or destroyed, you know, what was the problem? It was not that, it's the rest of the pieces did not do what they were supposed to do. You know, like, it is very intellectual thinking game. And we do know that some characters played this when they were younger, but we didn't really see kids playing games. No video games, no Borderlands, no, you know. Battlefront, you know, no first-person shooters or anything like that. Since they do have real-life blasters, maybe they just go out and, you know, shoot womp rants like Luke does on Tatooine. But that brings us to our two other games, beyond just like a chess, is Pazak and Sabacc. Now, I want to start with Pazak, just because we've actually played Pazak before. And I know Danya has, I know Evan, you have also. This was a mini-game inside Knights of the Old Republic. So, guys, think back to your best memories of Pazak. Do you guys have one that you played back on that wonderful board of the colors? And so, Pazak, to me, Pazak was always like the game 21.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, it was like 21.
Mm-hmm.
You try to get to the number 20, and then when the closest person to get to the number 20 with the cards won. Right? Like, that wasn't... That's essentially what it was, right?
That's correct.
Like blackjack. It was like blackjack, but you had its own separate cards and everything. I seen it in the video game eras and these things. It felt like it was, you know, it was almost like a casino. You had a bunch of tables and stuff like that that you would go and play at. But I don't know. Like, I can't imagine. Like, I've played cards when I was a kid, but that's not all I played. Yeah, you just... So if you guys were in the Star Wars universe and you were growing up, would Pazak be the only game that you would play and it would hold your attention forever?
The interesting thing with Pazak is that, and this is mainly a function of it being a video game mini game, is that it has a collectible aspect to it. So because you don't just play with the house deck, you also bring in your own side deck. So part of the video games of Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2 is to go around and buy or collect cards from other people and places to add to your side deck, so that when you go play at the big stakes game, you've got your own special trick cards. So to a certain extent, it's got some of that very kid using their parents' money focused, like, I want to go buy these cards and I need to go collect them all kind of thing going on.
So, like a Pokemon style cards, maybe?
Yeah, kind of. It's if you could turn your Pikachu into a plus 20, like with your side deck, then there you go. You've got your first Star Wars collectible card game.
There we go. Pazak it is. I don't know if it was just numbers, though, if I remember correctly.
It was just numbers, really, yeah.
No fun characters on it. No.
Nope.
No. Massive Womp Rat will attack your, you know.
There's no Star Wars version of Tetra Master from Final Fantasy.
Oh my god, right. I love Tetra Master so much.
So Pazak leads us directly into Sabacc, which is probably the more well-known game, but has never been played. Like, there's never been rules other than we kind of got, like, some references in canon and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just a couple different things. But we know it's trying to get a hand. It's close to 23. But the deck is comprised of 76 cards. Sometimes the cards can change value or meaning throughout the game. So you can have things... And there's different things like instead, and I will say this is more like poker, if you will, because they have things like an Idiot's Array, the Queen of Air and Darkness. Like, it reminds me of literally like a straight, you know, a flush, a royal flush, you know, a straight, you know, full house. Like, the things that they've alluded to that Sabacc is, it reminds me a lot more of poker than it does like 21, like Pazak does. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's kind of a fusion of the two.
Yeah. The interesting thing is, though, there's still like an idea of getting to a specific number, because a perfect hand of 23 or minus 23 is called a pure Sabacc, which would get you to, you know, those 23 numbers. And then an Idiot's Array, which I mentioned, was two cards of any suit and three cards of any suit. So it's essentially a full house then. Does that make sense?
Or a zero, I think.
Yeah, or zero. Let me see. Go to Idiot's Array Wikipedia. Two and three, the idiot. it has to be comprised of the cards 2 and 3. And only a pure Sabacc can beat it. So that's... It looks like we knew this because it looks like Zeb had that in the episode of Rebels that Lando Calrissian was in. So we do see them play it.
Yeah.
Never get the rules completely explained.
And I wonder if maybe the Wikipedia entry is getting updated now that the Han Solo card game is on the market.
That is true. The Han Solo card game is on the market. And I will say the cards look kind of cool. This is something that I need to play, figure out to play and see if I can find some people to play. Because it does look exciting. Like, it's going to be fun.
And they've tried to release rules for Sabacc in the past in the West End Games RPG from the 80s. There was a full like deck that you could try to play with. I think in the more recent RPGs, they've tried to just come up with ways to simulate it using the dice.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have that changing aspect. It's kind of hard to print a card game where the values are supposed to change. So actually, the mobile iOS game might be a little bit closer.
Yeah, which is owned by not Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Anyway, so I will say this. I do feel like, I think we talked about it, I do feel like Sabacc, the closest we have right now, the mobile iOS game, it's just a card game. It's not the Sabacc game.
But yeah.
I feel like Hearthstone would probably be the closest to it, just because you have your cards change in your hand. The modifier things, spells, essentially, would do what that would be. If you have, you know, they talk about having a interference shield where your hand things won't change. You know, you can have a secret in Hearthstone, which is essentially that, so that way if someone casts something, it can be deflected or it can be do something against them versus you. Like, I feel like that's as close as it can be, just because the changing aspect and being a card game and collecting it, like you said. So it's interesting. Let us know what you guys think would be your favorite Star Wars game to play. I will say, Pazak is not something I will spend hours playing anymore. It's not that exciting. Maybe when I was, you know, 10 years old, I thought it was really cool.
I mean, you're not going to keep going through Pazak combinations in your head like Atten did to keep the Jedi from looking at his brain?
No, not at all. But I will say I may be playing Star Wars Episode 1 Racer again because, you know, pod racing.
It's a good choice.
Now this, now this is racing. It was fun. Anyway, guys, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. As always, I am Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
I'm Ben.
I'm Evan.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.